You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today, we've got an interesting show.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the functional psychopath. We've heard about psychopaths. Mm-hmm. Not exactly sure what they are, what makes somebody functional versus dysfunctional, or maybe I call them incarcerated or criminal psychopath, right? So the difference between the criminal psychopath and the psychopath.
So maybe that is the same terminology when you call integrated psychopath.
It could be. When you're integrated into society. And psychopathic traits are on a, what do they call it, spectrum. On a scale, on a none to overwhelming amount that you can't control, right? So, So there's a behavioral tendency for some people to have some of these traits, and some have so many of these traits and criminal behavior, and they can't do anything. Let's actually get into it, and what is psychopathy, or what is it to be a psychopath? It's a neuropsychiatric disorder marked by a lack of empathy, poor behavioral controls, and persistent antisocial behavior. It's linked to dysfunction in the paralimbic brain regions. And if everyone remembers, the limbic brain region is where emotions are. And it's commonly results in criminal behavior, and I'll say when it extends to its full extent.
Okay, so you have a bit spectrum.
Sure, you can have a little bit of these tendencies.
Everybody have a little.
A little bit. Everyone tries to coerce and manipulate a tiny bit, maybe, to get their way. Or at least, you know, but they may also have a huge amount of empathy for somebody else, and therefore they don't push it to the point of a psychopath.
Okay.
Right, so let's continue on with this and talk more about where the paralimbic system comes into play in this type of behavior. The system, the paralimbic system, handles emotional processing, goal setting, self-control, cognitive processing, and movement. So it's very important, the paralimbic system, for emotional control. As far as what those parts of the brain are, we'll talk about the amygdala, anterior cingulate cortex, and the orbital frontal cortex. The damage in these areas. Oh, did you know there's damage? So I'm going to jump off that for a minute. Mm-hmm. There's actually damage in these areas can be related to psychopathic behavior.
Okay, so in the frontal cortex here?
Well, it's the amygdala, anterior cingulate cortex, and orbital frontal cortex. We'll have a diagram of like where those are in the brain in a minute, but there's more than just those areas. It can be the whole brain's affected in some way, that the brain has been shown to have different functioning in different areas for somebody of intense psychopathic behavior.
Okay,
so, and we'll get into each of these things. So let's go back to that. That damage in these areas is strongly associated with the development of psychopathic traits, such as, again, lack of empathy, the shallow effect, and I'll talk about that in a second, impulsivity, poor behavior control, and impaired emotional processing and decision making. So I read this thing on the shallow effect. I'm like, what is that? What's the shallow effect? Mm-hmm. And like when you're being shallow, I don't know, maybe people call each other shallow, but this is the definition, the psychology definition of the shallow effect. It's also known as blunted effect or reduced effect display. It is a condition where a person has a reduced emotional response to situations that would normally evoke strong feelings. So basically, they don't have emotional responses that are normal mm-hmm. or as intense as somebody without this, quote, shallow effect.
Okay.
So one of the byproducts of having damage of these areas of the brain may be you see something that for most people would make them scared or would make them sad or would make them angry, and it doesn't affect this person as much. Now,
how you measure it, you don't have damage in this area.
How do you measure the impact of it?
Well, that you don't have damage in this area.
Oh, we haven't gone into that. I don't think we're going to... I guess most people don't have their brain looked at to see if, do I have this problem or not? Mm-hmm. And again, just like with narcissism, the person who is the extreme psychopath probably wants to manipulate and control the situation and think that they don't need therapy. Everyone else has a problem. It's not their problem.
Exactly.
So, different.
What is the problem?
What's the problem? So, let's continue on with this and see. We have, here's the location in the brain of those things. The amygdala, anterior cingulate cortex, and orbital frontal cortex. The green blobs I placed on top of this brain here. The one in the center, that's the amygdala. The anterior cingulate cortex is that green higher blob that's up towards the front of the brain but high, and then the orbital frontal cortex is down low. It's just right above your eyes, in fact, in your brain. So these are the locations of these areas in the brain, and there's other areas as well that are affected, but these were the three that were called out as being potentially highly impacted in people who have psychopathic behaviors.
Okay.
To continue on, so now here goes into more depth. We're going into reduced ventromedial prefrontal cortex affects empathy and guilt, impairing moral judgment. Smaller amygdala size, so if your amygdala is smaller, can impact emotional processing, reducing fear responses. So things don't fear you as much. Less gray matter in the prefrontal cortex can limit social understanding and decision making. Larger white matter in posterior brain can enhance impulsivity and poor behavioral control. And then finally, brain trauma is often linked to psychopathy, disrupting emotional regulation and empathy. There's a story about a gentleman who abducted a woman, mm-hmm. and they looked at his psychopathic behavior, linked it back to motorcycle accidents he had as a youth, that his behavior changed after the damage to his brain.
Oh, have a good excuse.
It's a good excuse. It was the motorcycle did it.
The motorcycle, yeah.
So to continue on, there are strong genetic influence in psychopathic behavior. So here's some of the developments and pathways. How do you get to having psychopathic behavior? One is strong genetic influence. So things that are you were born this way. There could be early signs in childhood that show that you may have a issue like callous, unemotional traits, and there could be environmental factors, trauma. Poor attachment, meaning you don't have the opportunity to attach. You know, there's experiments with, and they haven't done these for a long time, but there were experiments with babies years ago where they kept them from having contact, and these children started to develop traits that were not good traits. So if you separate the child from having attachment and they feel separated, they may have a lack of development or become callous in their interactions with others. They don't feel cared for, so they don't feel that they should care for others.
Okay.
Okay, so these are things. Now, there are treatments for this. Mm-hmm. If it's caught early enough, there are different treatments. But later on in life, it's much more difficult to deal with psychopathic behavior. And we'll get into actually those traits in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The DSM-5, the book of the APA, the American Psychiatric Association, doesn't actually have psychopathy as a something you diagnose, but they say it could be a subset of something else. So it's not officially recognized as a disorder. It's closely aligned with antisocial personality disorder. So it's closely aligned with antisocial personality disorder because they have some similarities. And there are two major psychopathy subtypes, which is interpersonal affective traits, which would be when you are charming and you manipulate. And the other is lifestyle and antisocial traits, impulsivity and criminality. So here are the two major things, and again, we're going to repeat this, is charm and manipulation as the front end of it, right? Being charming and manipulative, but then impulsivity and criminality, because of the lack of empathy, a person who is a psychopath would tend to do things that are criminal because they don't feel the pain of the victim. So they want to get their way, and they can do that through charm and manipulation, and they don't feel bad when they injure somebody else. So that is the psychopathic traits. So you can see how on a small level, manipulative and charming, potentially the charming part is what people like, right? They want someone to be charming and probably not manipulative. But then on the criminal behavior side and the insensitivity to their own actions are not good. So how about diagnosing psychopathy? What do you think? Here's a checklist. So this is a revised checklist by Robert Hare that you look at interpersonal relationships. Are they superficial? Are they charming? Or they actually have superficial charm, which is they're charming and nice, but it's all an act, which is being manipulative or manipulativeness. Affective, they have lack of guilt, shallow emotions, so they don't feel the same way others feel. They aren't as upset when others are upset. They're not as happy when others are happy. They don't have those deep emotions. Their lifestyle, they're impulsive. They need stimulation. And then they also have potential antisocial behavior where they have poor behavioral controls and criminality, or things that can lead to criminality. So this is much different than narcissist.
Yeah, different.
Right? So narcissist does it for self-love. The psychopath does it for not having any feeling. And maybe this is a way for them to have feeling, is to be extreme to other people. So there's a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of emotion that they feel.
Yeah.
We'll continue on with this.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Right now, we're going to talk about the romantic psychopath, or if you're in a romantic relationship, how do you see what's the behavior of somebody who's a psychopath in romantic behavior? Manipulative. Again, those things we talked about, you'll see a repeat of certain behaviors. So let's take a look at this. So in a romantic relationship, the person is manipulative. There's infidelity. There's a lack of empathy. Example, the partner exploits the trust for personal gain. Romantic partners of psychopaths report higher levels of emotional abuse, which sounds like it would be, because if your partner doesn't actually care how you feel, you'll feel abused, and they're like, I don't see how I'm abusing you, because they don't feel how you feel.
And then the sometimes is that perfect component. So the victim catching the psychopath. Because it's how you love somebody.
You feel that you have to be this way. Maybe you've seen it growing up. Uh-huh. Maybe this is part of your pattern.
You identify the love is how I grew up in home. So if you grow in home with some psychopath behavior, you believe that is love.
And we've talked about this before in our show, mm-hmm. that sometimes we only recognize the type of patterns that we had in prior relationships. That if somebody, and again, psychopaths can start off a relationship being very charming and very manipulative. And if you meet somebody who's not really charming and not really manipulative, maybe you're just not interested. Maybe your chemistry doesn't spike. And you don't think, well, I have no interest in them, right?
Yeah.
So you're interested in a personality type that also is a personality type of a psychopath,
mm-hmm.
potentially, right? Yeah. So they're charming people.
You need time. So people need time to know, maybe years.
yeah. Don't date somebody for 4 years. Talk with them, be a friend for 4 years before you date them.
Maybe two.
Okay. But you need, and part of it is, it's good, you know, I was looking at this thing on the internet the other day. They were talking about how people used to meet and how they met through family and friends was like number one. They then met maybe at work or at school, and all the way down at the bottom, this was going through the years, there was no internet, there was no online, so it was 0%. Now 60% of people meet online.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of blows my mind. And online, you can have any fake, manipulative, charming personality you want, and you hide the bad.
Yeah.
Right?
And you can have a good person too, so.
Yeah.
A
good person can also be charming. So you don't know. You need references.
Yeah.
Get references. Get a list of references. So going back to that, we talked about some of the signs. Let's give a story example of this. And the story is that Sarah fell in love with Jack, who was an incredibly charming and attentive at the beginning of their relationship. So very, very intense beginning of relationship and
promotion
attentive.
Time, like they call it.
Exactly. However, as time went on, Jack began to show signs of manipulation. He didn't hold up signs, but he did.
Have a tattoo. Yeah. Manipulation.
Manipulation. The signs are there, but we've got to actually be able to read them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he would often lie about where he was and who he was with. And when Sarah confronted him about dishonesty or his dishonesty, he would twist her words, making her feel guilty for doubting him. Seems like gaslighting of the narcissist also.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where some of these traits are similar at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
right? He engaged in multiple affairs, but always convinced Sarah that it was her fault for not being enough for him. If you loved me more, if you did more for me, I wouldn't have to find, validation outside this relationship. It's your fault. If you cooked me 3 arepas last night instead of 2, I wouldn't have had to get that 3rd arepa from...
Yeah, it's like the bag this morning, you see? Then you say it's my fault, but you put the bag in the corner of the...
The bag, yes. Well, I'm not sure what you're saying right now.
Okay.
Cut this part. So Jack's lack of empathy and emotional detachment became clearer over time. So she started to recognize the detachment and that he used Sarah's love and trust for his own personal gain, manipulating her emotions to maintain control. So what I wanted to look at is what then summary are the psychopathic behaviors in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And in summary, here they are. Lies to manipulate partner's trust. Twist words to induce guilt. Blame partner for their own actions. And exploits emotions for control. And the reason exploiting emotions for control is so important is that the psychopath does not have the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't feel what you do. so they can push your buttons without themselves feeling guilty, feeling pain, feeling upset. You're upset and yelling. They can yell. They don't have to yell. They can make you yell more, but they don't feel the frustration that you feel. They don't feel the anger. They don't have the chemicals dumping into their body through their limbic system to make them have that same feeling. So you think you're equally angry at each other, and all you're doing is being manipulated into feeling bad. They're playing with your emotions because they have none. Hmm. And maybe they're living off your emotions. I need to suck your emotions out of you in order for me to feel this much of life.
Or power. Maybe sure. the psychopath need to be in power, so to make a control the situation, put the other person out of the control. Is part of them.
So signs of psychopathy in friends include selfishness, unreliability. Example, somebody who disappears when they're needed and takes advantage of others when they need something. So friendship with psychopaths often lack reciprocity. So we're going to talk about an example of that. So here's an example, a little story example of that. Tom had been friends with Mark for years. So Mark was charming and fun to be around. So when they went out, they would have a good time. They'd go to a bar, they'd go to a baseball game. And as long as Mark was wanting to have fun, it was a fun time. However, whenever Tom needed help or support, Mark would just disappear. In fact, Tom had a problem once where his car broke down and he needed a help. And Mark just wasn't around and was making excuses that he was in the middle of something and couldn't help. But a few days later, Mark needed to borrow some money, asked Tom for some money, and promised to pay back using his manipulative and charming skills. Tom lent Mark the money, and guess what? Mark never paid the money back. So Mark only maintained the relationship when it benefited him. Showed no empathy or consideration for Tom's needs. So that is the profile of the psychopath in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And that psychopathic behavior, again, not criminal behavior, but functional.
Yeah, no responsible, no value the other people. It's just your own benefit.
Exactly. And here are the four points of psychopath behavior there. In that example, disappears when help is needed, makes excuses to avoid responsibility, exploits others for personal gain, and lacks empathy and friendships. Now, if they don't have the emotional feeling capacity because there's damage to the limbic system and other parts of the brain, or there's traits or tendencies, they may feel there's nothing wrong in the relationship because when you do something for them, they have no emotional response. So that's a good thing. It's just action gets action, and they don't feel guilty. So I think there's two things. I don't want to excuse the behavior, but we can't equate somebody else's behavior to how we would act in the same situation because we may have a lot of feeling. We may actually have proper empathy.
So you have empathy. Proper is relative.
That is true.
Yeah.
How about signs of psychopathic behavior in your family or a family member? What do you think there? Take a look at that. Somebody in your family's emotionally cold. They have manipulative behavior. They use guilt to control family dynamics. So family members of psychopaths report feeling emotionally drained, right? They're just tired of dealing with somebody in the family because that person's emotionally draining. This person has emotion, this one has no emotion. So this one can keep doing things, you do responses, angry, happy, sad, whatever. They really don't care the difference. When they're charming, they get something to be done for them. And when they're not charming and you get angry, it, to them, it means nothing.
How about the psychopath also manipulate and create fake feeling to try to
for themselves.
Well, try to be the victim. So you see, I effort to take care of my mama, cry a little bit, and leave.
I get that would be manipulation.
Yeah.
So it's charming and manipulative.
Yeah.
Everything the person says, they have no emotion about it. You know, it's like the fake tear. Mm-hmm. Like they're crying, but no tears coming down.
I always do like that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, and they poke themselves. They pull a little hair out and they start crying. Yeah. Yeah, so it's the fake emotion. So in this case, here's our little summary, that in the family setting, the functional psychopath displays emotional coldness and detachment, manipulates family with guilt, avoids responsibility through excuses, and exhausts other with emotional control. That person controls the emotions of others because they have no emotions themselves, or very little emotion.
But and these are smart people.
They can be smart people.
Okay.
And maybe
emotionally smart.
They can, yes, they know how to push emotions, but they're actually probably looking at the behavioral impact, not the emotional impact. By making them feel this way, I get this response. And they don't care about the feeling. They don't have that chemical reaction. Like, you know how a lot of people mirror? Like, if I see someone sad, I'll feel sad too. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
You're me, I'm you. That's great. That the psychopath would not have those mirroring of feelings. Right? Okay. So if you're sad, they would just be looking at you like, I don't understand why you're sad. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're happy, it's like, oh, great, they're happy. Now, what can I get out of them?
Okay. You know,
can I borrow a dollar? Mm-hmm. How about signs of psychopathy in the workplace? What do you think about that?
That is interesting.
Okay. So for a coworker, sabotaging others for personal gain. Oh, and the story here is something that happened exactly to me at work years ago. Boss, lack of empathy, controlling behavior. Example, a coworker undermines team efforts for personal advancement. Workplace psychopaths are often highly competitive and also disruptive to the team.
Mm-hmm. And my first intern job was in the oil and gas industry. Mm. And then the person that supposed is my boss, she feel jealous. I don't know what is her feeling. And one day she say, okay, today we have to do some tests in the oil pump. Okay, and I come and prepare. She said, no, today no. So on the next day, one day it's Friday, so I dress in like the use my nice dress, and then she said, okay, today we want to take the sample. So she put me in with my dress, go to the stuff, take the sample, listen. And somebody saw the scene, and the guy said, why you do that? And she put me to do that. But I know it's intentional, but right. I follow the game because I am intern, you know? And when I finish my job and I create the presentation, she say, okay, your thesis you have to show tomorrow at 10 a.m. And I said, okay, 10 a.m., yes, 10 a.m. So, okay, I leave, and when I go to my parking car, the hair boss say, I see you tomorrow at 8, because 8 is the presentation.
Oh.
And I said, oh, okay. So I chose 7:30, and she was freak out seeing me in the presentation. So, and then she also, I found that she, his relationship with a married guy in the office, and the same my
everything
history, yes.
Manipulating everything for her own gain.
For successful,
The psychopath doesn't have the consequence of feelings, so the conscientiousness of their actions doesn't result in them feeling bad, doesn't result in them seeing somebody upset or crying and they feel bad about it. They actually don't understand. It's like feelings are absent from
normal.
Yeah. We started this all off by saying there can be defects and problems in the brain that are also associated with contribute to psychopathic behavior. We talked about the limbic system and the way that the amygdala is maybe smaller. We talked about the prefrontal orbital cortex and other things in the brain that are different, the white matter, that these things are shown to be equated to people with psychopathic behavior. Now, again, maybe a lot of these studies are done on extreme psychopaths, mm-hmm. like criminal psychopaths, which is different in a way, because for them, they go beyond the feeling part and they have no remorse for criminality. They don't know, there's no black and white line of you don't cross this line. Mm-hmm. And when we come back,
I told you the some stories say the statistic of psychopaths in the jail is low.
Well, right. Yeah. But that we'll talk about that in a minute, and we'll come back and talk about criminality in psychopath. We'll talk about treatment and what to do about it when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Mm-hmm. Today we're manipulating you through our charm, but we actually care about how you feel.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. Huh?
So we are narcissism, psychopath, functional
narcissistic.
Integrate.
I think the point is we all have certain tendencies. We probably
everybody has.
Yeah. But when they get pushed to the extremes, that's where we have to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all, like, there's this curve of human behaviors, and most of us tend to be in the average. That's why there's something called average.
Yeah.
And then there's extremes on different ends. Like some people who are just too emotional all the time, which might be high levels of neuroticism. And then on the other hand, you have the people who have no emotions, of which are the psychopaths.
Yeah.
You know, but both of them are dysfunctional at some certain levels.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have certain traits of one way or the other and still be functional.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to talk about a few other behaviors of psychopaths in society, mm-hmm. and we're going to get to the criminal.
So it's a criminal in the train.
criminal. They actually cut trees for a living. Here we go there.
Okay.
So let's look at signs of psychopathy in society. For a police officer, they may abuse authority for control. Lawyer, they may win at all costs. Disregard for ethics. Maybe hide evidence, cover up evidence, or just basically lie to win. Politician, charisma, masking personal gain motives.
Oh.
You think politicians might do that? Religious leader, exploit followers' trusts. And then finally, criminal, engages in violent acts without remorse. So you want to hear a story about a criminal. Criminal psychopathy. Here we have John displayed early psychopathic traits, manipulation, emotional detachment, and coldness. So even as a child, there was this coldness, detachment, and manipulation going on. In his 20s, his aggression increased, so he became more aggressive, but he never showed remorse, so there was no empathy for his victims. During a robbery, John assaulted a store clerk without any hesitation, simply because the clerk wasn't moving fast enough. When questioned by police, John felt no guilt, instead blaming the victim for being too slow. Right? So, I asked them to do something, they were too slow, and that's why I hit him, because they were too slow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me, it's them, right? He justified the violence as necessary, demonstrating the hallmark of being a psychopath. Criminality, committing violent acts without remorse. So that is the criminal piece. And let's go to the summary on that. Again, manipulative, emotionally detached behavior. That there's increased aggression without any remorse. You can assault a victim. In fact, John did. He assaulted a victim with no hesitation. Justifies the violence and blames the victim. So that's criminal psychopathic behavior. So what's the difference between the functional an uncontrolled psychopath.
Okay. What is?
For a functioning psychopath, they may be in a high-risk profession like corporate, law enforcement, controlled behaviors, lacks overt criminality. So they have control over their behavior. So they're manipulative, they have no remorse, but they control their behavior within the legal limits as best they can. Where the uncontrolled psychopath, they're erratic, they're impulsive, they're unable to maintain stable relationships or jobs. So they go beyond the functional. They can't keep relationships because they're so psychopathic.
Mm-hmm.
They can't keep jobs because they're so psychopathic. And they also will do criminal behavior, and they go beyond the line because they basically don't see their behavior as being criminal or okay. Don't care.
Mm.
Right? So the criminal psychopath, inability to control impulses. Criminal psychopaths often engage in violent, reckless, or illegal activities due to a lack of impulse control. In criminal behavior, they regularly violate societal laws and norms, often committing crimes such as theft, assault, or fraud. Their lack of empathy enables them to engage in these acts without remorse. The risk of incarceration. So criminals will risk incarceration. Due to their involvement in illegal activities, criminal psychopaths are more likely to face incarceration or other legal consequences. I want to talk about that in a minute. And they have high levels of aggression. Their aggressive behavior often manifests in physical violence, and they typically lack guilt or remorse for the harm they cause. I want to go back to the risk of incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
If the psychopath has low level of emotion, how impacted are they by incarceration? Maybe less so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they get into fights in the jail, yelling, verbal.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to them. It's just all a game.
Mm-hmm.
It may only be the physical harm that comes to them that they worry about, but any, you know, the mental harm and anguish just isn't there, the emotions. So as far as a functioning psychopath, the big difference is the functioning psychopath has controlled behavior, so they control themselves better. They have impulse control. They can control their impulses enough to avoid illegal activities, although they may still manipulate or exploit others. They may be successful in high-stakes environments. They're found in careers where traits such as fearlessness, lack of empathy, and cold rationality are advantageous. They can be manipulative, but they're also socially adept. They know how to navigate society. And they have a lack of remorse, but will try to maintain appearances. So functioning psychopaths lack remorse, but they are skilled at hiding these traits, allowing them to blend into society and avoid legal trouble. They'll manipulate people and situations to their advantage while maintaining a socially acceptable facade.
Mm.
And that's the functional psychopath. So I think what you're saying is the functioning psychopath also has a certain amount of intelligence associated with those that most functioning psychopaths are not getting into prison because they manipulate enough things that they avoid it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can control everything.
Like serial killers, mm-hmm. who successfully kill. Yeah, they're psychopaths.
Yeah.
They have no remorse, no feeling.
And organize and planning and manipulate and clean everything well.
Yeah. So there's some combinations in there. So can psychopathy be treated?
Mm.
Answer. Traditional therapy often is ineffective in adults. There are promising results with youth targeting early intervention. So key treatments would be cognitive behavioral therapy for managing aggression, again, for those who want to have therapy. And the focus is on neuroplasticity in younger individuals. The idea is the brain is still developing rapidly for younger individuals. So if you can focus on helping develop the brain in ways that will counteract the psychopathic tendencies, that you can help move a younger person into non-psychopathic behaviors. Maybe having them being more conscientious, developing the brain, learning more. Use their non-feelingness for good rather than evil.
Yeah.
And maybe they can learn a little bit about their own tendencies there. Medication. There are limited pharmacological options, and the focus is on managing aggression, not medication. Actually, the medication is to make them not as upset. So this would be for incarcerated individuals. And the other in incarceration is used to protect society from the psychopath. It's containment rather than rehabilitation, since rehabilitation for older patients doesn't seem to be an option.
Mm.
Very limited option. Once a psychopath,
you move and not share your new address.
if you know a psychopath, yeah, move. How about in a relationship where, actually, I want to go situation, not in relationship now, but where is being psychopath beneficial?
Okay.
So psychopathic traits are beneficial in high stakes environments, negotiations, corporate leadership, military roles. Politicians are also known to have psychopathic tendencies. Benefits would be cool-headed decision-making with emotional detachment. Some psychopathic traits are linked to success in specific fields. And I think we actually list some of the fields here. Here we go. Corporate executives, surgeons, lawyers. These are high-pressure positions where risk-taking and unemotional decision-making are needed. And we have to, again, separate functional psychopath from criminal psychopath,
yeah,
or dysfunctional.
Dysfunctional, yeah.
That you can have tendencies of psychopath. You can even be a psychopath, but you can say maybe you have enough conscientiousness to not do the criminal behavior.
Mm.
But you'll manipulate, you'll charm, you'll get into arguments, and you don't have the consequences of emotions.
Yeah.
So again, it's having human interaction without the consequences of emotion. Emotion moves us to certain behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have that feedback, you don't have the natural emotional feedback that others, normal others, do in society, that means you can act in ways that normal people won't, because you don't have the rein. You don't have the reins on you. You don't have emotions pulling you away from being mean or angry or getting upset and crying. If you don't have those emotions pulling on you, your behaviors then can be drastically more widespread than somebody who's
normal. Yeah, also I'm thinking in doctor, you know, when the doctor need to say to some family, hey, your patient have a problem, or maybe people not supervise or something like that, or it's high risky, you need to move your emotion because you cannot go and cry with the family. It's not professional. Yeah. So
that's one of the things I said, is surgeons have to be able to act without the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're cutting into somebody and they know this is a very delicate procedure, if they're all filled with nervousness because of the emotion, it can make their job performance not as good. So let's talk about if you're in a relationship with a psychopath. We're going to say, hey, if there's a way for you to get therapy. This is almost like narcissism. It's the, quote, victims of the narcissist, the victims of the psychopath that are the ones who seek therapy to help themselves deal with it. So the number one thing is, if you can get out or you're not yet in deep in the relationship, notice the signs of somebody's a psychopath: manipulation, charm, and lack of empathy. Be aware of emotional manipulation, establish boundaries, and leaving a psychopath partner significantly improves mental health. These things are difficult, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
So The other thing, this is I highlighted this next thing, and there's a reason I highlighted it. This has to be dealing with psychopaths at work or just in everyday life.
Okay.
Set clear boundaries. Avoid engaging emotionally, since you would be the only one who's actually engaging emotionally. They don't have emotions. You think being angry at them is going to impact them. You think being sad, you think telling them your feelings is going to change their behavior. They don't care about feelings. They have no empathy.
Mm-hmm.
So the suggestion in the work environment is set a boundary. Document. Get with HR and say, this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened. Don't deal emotionally with the psychopathic behavioral person, the person who's exhibiting these behaviors. Deal logically. I will never talk with you again, like I told the guy. I will never help you again. I'm not angry at you. I'm angry at myself for helping you these past couple of times. I will never help you again. Set a boundary, right? So that mm-hmm. is how you deal with it.
Okay.
Instead of expecting a different result next time. Next time, can you please, you know, share that I helped you with this? It's not going to happen.
I do the revenge. I share bad information.
Bad information.
So he felt... Oh, sorry. That's not the psychopath characteristic.
So going back is workplace strategies emphasize keeping psychopaths accountable through clear expectations. So clear expectations, how you are going to deal with them. If you are going to deal with me on anything in the future, I need it in writing. So sometimes you have to deal with somebody who says you told them to do it this way, and you know they're manipulating you and they're just trying to get you in trouble. Okay, from now on, whenever I tell you that I need you to do something or I ask for something, I'm putting it in writing.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a pain in the neck, but it's to protect yourself from being emotionally impacted by somebody who has no emotional consequence.
Yeah.
Right? What else do we have here? Dealing with psychopaths in everyday life. One, minimize interaction. If you know they're a psychopath, you got to minimize your contact. Stay cautious and avoid confrontation. Because while you're getting emotionally upset, which remember, when you are upset, when you're angry, your prefrontal cortex shuts down. In a psychopath, they're not getting angry. Their prefrontal cortex is going to be much more logical. You're going to lose an argument with a psychopath because you're angry and they're as cool as a cucumber.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be much smarter. You may know more. You may be right. You may have all the evidence, but you're going to have a harder time presenting it because you're upset and they're not.
So can be a good lawyer.
That's what we said. And again, avoid engaging in emotional or moral debates. A psychopath often uses these to manipulate. Mm-hmm. So they'll manipulate through the emotions. Finally, am I a psychopath?
Maybe.
You may be a psychopath. Mm-hmm. I mean, we may have psychopathic tendencies. Do I lack empathy for others? Or am I neurotic and I have too much empathy for others? Or am I normal and I have proper amount of empathy? Am I manipulative or deceitful? Do I take risks without regard for consequences? And if you think that, well, you know what? Some of these things I'm kind of concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? You may be able to go to therapy. You may be able to have cognitive behavioral therapy and help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that you only have certain tendencies and you want to have more options for your behavioral responses.
Yeah.
Right? I want to learn how to feel more. I want to become more... have more empathy, right?
Empathy, yeah.
I want to show more emotions. I don't want to keep quiet. I want to share that, and I want to be able to do that without losing my mind. So in summary,
mm-hmm.
Psychopathy is a complex, multifaceted disorder. Early interventions in youth can offer hope to youth because they have the neuroplasticity that helps them have other ways of behaving if they learn how to do it at a young age. Functional psychopaths can thrive in certain environments, but unchecked behaviors pose significant societal risks. We now can recognize psychopaths by their manipulative and charming behavior, where you feel that you are much more emotionally impacted by their actions than they are. When you see that and you feel that, know that an argument with a psychopath is a losing battle. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about, your prefrontal cortex shuts down. You need to know when to, what is it, hold them? You need to know when to fold them.
Yeah.
That just, you know what? I'm going to cut my ties. I'm going to have a specific boundary, and I'm going to deal with this person in writing, if it's work-related, or if it's a friend, you may just say, you know what, no more.
Yeah. And it's family?
If it's family, that's
you
a
move.
Tough one.
You
so you move, no address. Don't share the address. In any case, we hope we tackle the complex topic today with a little bit of fun, a little bit of keeping your interest, and hope you tune in next week to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Have a great
See
week.
You.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.